46 from Canto 9, Chapter 4. Evam Pravana Utkritya Jatam Rosha Pradipitaha Tayasa Nirmame Tasmai Krityam Kala Nalopamam Evam Bhruvana Utkritya Jatam Rosha Pradipitaha Tayasa Nirmame Tasmai Krityam Kala Nalopamam Evam Bhruvana Utkritya Jatam Rosha Pradipataha Dayasa Nirmame Tasmai Krityam Kala Nalopamam Evam Bhruvana Utkritya Jatam Rosha Pradipataha Tayasa Nirmame Tasmai Krityam Kala Nalopamam Evam Pravana Utkritya Ladies. Evam Bhruvana Utkritya Jatam Rosha Pradipataha Dayasa Nirmame Tasmai Krityam Kala Nalopamam Evam Bhruvana Utkritya Jatam Rosha Pradipataha Tayasa Nirmame Tasmai Krityam Kala Nalopamam Evam Bhruvana Utkritya Jatam Rosha Pradipataha Tayasa Nirmame Tasmai Krityam Kala Nalopamam Evam Thus Bhruvanaha Speaking Durvasa Muni Utkritya Uprooting Jatam, a bunch of hair. Rosha Pradipataha, being reddish because he was very angry. Daya, by that bunch of hair from his head. Saha Durvasa Muni, Nirmame, created. Tasmai, to punish Maharaj Ambarish. Krityam, a demon. Kala Anala Upamam, appearing just like the blazing fire of devastation. Translation, as Durvasa Muni said this, his face became red with anger, uprooting a bunch of hair from his head. Ouch. He created a demon resembling the blazing fire of devastation to punish Maharaj Ambarish. And there's no purport. So we'll go on to the next verse. Read the translation. Taking a trident in his hand, and making the surface of the earth tremble with his footsteps, that blazing creature came before Maharaj Ambarish. But the king, upon seeing him, was not at all disturbed. And he did not move even slightly from his position, which is pretty amazing. Purport. Narayana para sarve nakutaschana bibhyati. Bhagavatam 6:17-28. A pure devotee of Narayana is never afraid of any material danger. There are many examples of devotees, such as Prahlad Maharaj, who was tortured by his father, but was not at all afraid, although he was only a 5-year-old boy. Therefore, following the examples of Ambarish Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, a devotee should learn how to tolerate all such awkward positions in this world. Devotees are often tortured by non-devotees. Yet the pure devotee, depending fully on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is never disturbed by such inimical activities. The next purport goes on explaining again that this wonderful exhibition of fearlessness that Maharaj Ambarish demonstrated. There's an important verse in the Bhagavatam that describes the doubtless and the fearless path. Devotional service, the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is such a place. This doubtless, the goal will be reached, and fearless, of the animal propensities, eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing or defending, the strongest, most prominent of all is that fourth one, defending or fearing, indicated by the fact that if someone is involved in any one of the other three animal propensities, if some danger comes, they're abandoned in favor of the one, defending, protecting, fearing. Very strong, most strong. So, fear of material existence, so we'll discuss that a little bit. It's ironical in one sense, because the basis of that is bodily conception of life, or departing from the spiritual conception of life and going across this bridge called false ego, and identifying oneself as the enjoyer of that. Although paropi, we're transcendental. Manyate anartam, one thinks of oneself as a product of the modes of nature. Matter, this body, and we're meant to be the enjoyer of matter. So the irony is, we're meant to be we're trying to become the enjoyers of that which is fearful. Or say it the other way. The position of fearlessness is where one no longer identifies with the temporary. And so, if the configuration of the temporary moves from this to that, it's temporary. It's not our position of happiness, it's not us. Siddhanta was sharing this with us the other day in his something, I guess, memories. Prabhupada was being asked, where's Bhajan Narayan Maharaj? Did you hear that little presentation, Siddhanta? It was something, something that goes like this. Prabhupada was asked, how are we to understand that this material life is simply a dream of no substance, no reality? So Prabhupada's reply was, do you dream at night? Yes, Prabhupada. And when you're dreaming at night, do you accept that as reality? Yes, Prabhupada. And when waking up, does that dreaming reality exist anymore? No, Prabhupada. So similarly, as much as you understand that is not a reality, this is also not reality, but you invest more value in this one because you're awake more hours than that one when it's less hours. But both are insubstantial. This Bhagavatam language from the very first purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Satyam Param Dhimahi. The Bhagavatam is a meditation on Satyam Param, the Supreme Truth. Hint, the Supreme Truth is Krishna. And it's a meditation upon Krishna. And distinct is that which is not Krishna. And Muyanti Yat Surayaha, that the impermanent, where there is no substance, it appears to be reality, but there is no substance. Exactly like a reflection. So let's do it really simple. Here's a mirror, here's an apple, and then over here is the reflection of the apple in the mirror. But there's no substance there. Not only there's no substance, just turn the mirror slightly. The apple's gone. What happened? And so the impermanence of material existence is what we're hankering for, but there's no substance there. It's literally insubstantial. And where is there substance? That the substance is things that are permanent. Nasate vidyate bhavo, the bhavo vidyate sataha. Really simple, like catechism for a child. Ubayor apadrishtontas tvanios tattvadarshi bihi. A tattvadarshi doesn't place much value in this. Now you see it, now you don't. Configuration of matter at the moment. And then it changes, and then it changes, and then it changes. And then it changes. And we're chasing after happiness in the temporary. And along with that, built within that, chasing the illusion of chasing after happiness in that which has no substance, it's fearful. What's the fearful? That which I have, I'm going to lose. The body, fear of death, and everything else. Everything, literally everything else, is whatever it is that I think is mine, which I've endeavored to get, to acquire through fruitive activity, then whatever I have, there's the fear of losing it. And unless one doesn't identify with asat, but identifies with sat. So easier said than done, right? I mean, we accept the philosophy. Is it like the very nice description twice in the Kapiladeva section of the third canto Bhagavatam, Devahuti says, the whole discussion, like eight chapters, the kickoff is, Devahuti says to her son, I'm too much attached to family life. And because of being too much attached to family life, now that my husband is gone, Kardava Muni, my mind is so disturbed, I'm not at all peaceful, I'm unhappy. Paraphrasing, I know the philosophy. I know the philosophy. But still, this deluding potency is disturbing. I can't think straight. So please remove. It's your potency. You covered me with it, so please remove it. Thank you. And so he goes through the process of the removal, anarto pashamam sakshat bhakti yogam adhokshaje, from the Vyasadeva's realization. The process of relieving the conditioned soul from the bewilderment of maya, maya samohito jiva, atmanam trigunatmakam, the identification with the impermanent. The mitigating process is bhakti. So he describes the process of bhakti, and how does bhakti begin? Bhakti begins by associating with one who's carrying bhakti, with a bhakta. And the bhakta transmits bhakti, or at least the potency to do so is invested in the bhakta by Krishna. And then bhakti can take away this influence of maya. So what we're seeing here is a description of a fearless devotee, because he's not just begun the process of devotional service, he's in the topmost stage of devotional service. The purport reference is given. Narayana Paraksarge Nakutashchana Bibhyate. I was really inspired by how scholarly and brilliant was Gauranga's class yesterday morning. Like, whew. So, following in his footsteps, taking some dust. So there's this phrase, Narayana Parayana, just my own little appreciation of the Bhagavatam, one little one, is like a like an orchestra or a classical composition. I don't know so much about classical music, but there are people that do, and they've shared. There's certain refrains that pass through a classical literature piece. A musical piece, excuse me, and classical literature does something similar. A little melody, because I took part in an orchestra when I was in high school. So just take the sequence of notes. Do, 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 do. And so one group of musical instruments over there, the piccolo, do, 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 then the oboe, boom, 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 boom. And then the bass, boom, 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 boom. And then just take it and they go somewhere with the thing, then it's quiet, they come back. And then just weave that theme. So there's something in the mind of the orchestrator, some significance to that sequence of notes. It's, you know, creating a certain mood and then embellishing the mood and changing the mood and then coming back to that baseline. So Bhagavatam does like that also. Beautiful Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, where there are certain phrases that repeat themselves. And in this sixth canto, there's this Vasudeva Parayana or Narayana Parayana, and it repeats itself in key places within the chapter. Because within the canto, the canto heading is prescribed duties for mankind. When Prabhupada composed Srimad Bhagavatam, my understanding is that each canto had a heading, and he chose the heading not necessarily out of the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam, because there's 12 cantos, but you know, the theme, and weaving the themes together makes, you know, the Bhagavatam, the glorification of taking shelter of Bhagavan. So the prescribed duty for mankind is Narayana Parayana, is to take full shelter, Parayana, Narayana Parayana, like, you know, Anyabhilashata Shunyam, Jnana Karmadhyana, with nothing else. The full submission unto the personality of Godhead. And because reference is being made in this verse to one who had achieved that position, that was King Chitraketu. And King Chitraketu went from a pious king to a devotee, through a devotee detached from matter. Although he was super attached to having a son, he got over it by the arrangement of Angira and Narada. And then transcendental knowledge in the process of bhakti, and he was in the fast lane. He achieved topmost stage of bhakti. So elevated that he was like an equal or a friend with Lord Shiva. That's really up there. And he went to go visit his friend. And Parvati misunderstood. So Parvati cursed him. And he accepted the curse. Same as here. Parvati cursed him. He did nothing wrong. He was actually glorifying Lord Shiva. She took it the opposite. You ever have that happen? You're speaking something where you're intending to appreciate somebody and, you know, honor them, somebody. And either that somebody or someone else thinks, why are they speaking this bad thing about this person? And you hold your head and go, what? How'd they get that out of? It happens sometimes. That's what happened. So it was like described yesterday, the will of the Lord. Why did Parvati, she's not, you know, an ordinary jiva. She's very powerful. How did she misunderstand the intention of someone on the equal level of her husband? Well, she did. And she cursed him. And what did he do? He could have done lots of things, but he just accepted it. Somehow it's the will of the Lord. With folded palms, he came before Parvati and my dear mother. Somehow, the will of the Lord is that you cursed me, although I was appreciating Lord Shiva. You think I was doing the opposite. So be it. I accept. I shall become a demon. Speaking, you know, on this position of protection. Well, wait a minute now. The Lord protects his devotee. Right? Lord protects his devotee. He's Bhakta Vatsala. He protects his devotee. So what is that? Those of you that speak regularly, or at least from time to time, isn't it a question that you're asked? Where, you know, what kind of protection? What does that mean, the Lord protects his devotee? Look at Chitraketu, who became a demon. You know, Prahlad Maharaj, he was protected, nothing happened. And King Chitraketu, he became a demon. Well, where's the Lord's protection there? He forgot. Yeah. And, to, you know, give us subject matter for hearing and chanting about the glories of one who is a Narayana Parayana. And then we can, you know, so many, whatever it is, so many years later, speak the verse again. That Lord Shiva says to Parvati, my dear Parvati, you're accusing him as having offended an exalted devotee. But Parvati, it is you who have offended an exalted devotee. You have vilified this person who is faultless. So you're the offender. And to demonstrate to you his exaltedness, he spoke the verse, this one that's being quoted in the purport. Narayana paraksarge nakatashchana bibhyati svarga apavarga narakeshu apitulyarta darshanam. Darshanam. Apitulyarta. They see equally. You know, it's a nice verse, but can you imagine? Somebody knocks on your door and says, Prabhuji, I've got a message from Krishna. Tomorrow you're going back to Godhead. Or another one says, no, tomorrow you're going to hell. Or tomorrow you're going to heaven. And, you know, your mind doesn't change. The verse, because there's no purport for 46, but the Sanskrit of verse 47 says these two things. His mind didn't move and his feet didn't move. Now, it's one thing. He's a Kshatriya. And supposing you're not a Kshatriya. We're not Kshatriyas. Here comes this fiery demon coming racing at you with a trident. And you don't move. I mean, you don't even have to think about it. Just immediately you go like that. You don't have to take, you know, martial arts classes. You just instinctively you do that. But he didn't. His hands remained at his side. His feet didn't move. And his mind didn't move. Huh? How's that? Narayana Parayana, just as King Chitraketu. He was fearless. In the commentary, it says, in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, he was thinking, how can I contradict the words of a brahmana? I should just accept it. So that's a, you know, it's a Varnashram principle. You by etiquette, you offer respect to a brahmana. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, please appreciate. What did he do wrong? He sipped water. For that, you should die. That was yesterday's verse. You should die. Little extreme punishment. You sipped water to break the Dwadasi fast. You should die. So here's this. He's not behaving like a Brahmin at all. His position was, he was thinking, it was pride. I'm a Brahmana. And he's a Kshatriya. And he's more honored than me. I got to do something about this. So I'm going to kill him. That's pretty extreme to do something about it. Someone is more honored than you are. I'm going to kill him. And he remained fearless. So what is that? Full shelter in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Where just as Krishna says in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the topmost position is devotional service. And what is that devotional service in the topmost position? Mind absorbed in me, intelligence fully engaged in my service. Such a person is most dear to me. So that person who's most dear, I just got through giving a seminar on Madhurya Kundambini. So here's a little piece from Madhurya Kundambini. The stage of asakti that comes before the bhava stage is one's attached. And in that stage, attached to Krishna. And when you're attached to Krishna, like Maharaj Ambarish was attached to Krishna, there isn't anything else. So when there isn't anything else, here comes some happiness, here comes some distress. Here's a configuration of duality, here's another configuration of duality. What's your favorite? Indifferent. Because of attachment. And then from that attachment, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurya Kundambini calls this clusters of buds. You know, like in springtime? You have spring here in California, right? Yeah. So, clusters of buds. So it means, the hint is, very soon the flower is going to come. And when the flower comes, that's the bhava stage, the color and the fragrance, it attracts the bees. In his metaphor, it's the bee of Madhu Sudana. Krishna comes and he appears. So in the mind of a person exalted like Maharaj Ambarish, he's in direct contact with the Personality of God, and the Personality of God, it favors him. It's described in other Puranas. The same Leela is described in other Puranas, where it specifically says, Maharaj Ambarish was so dear to Lord Vishnu that Lord Vishnu presented him with an expansion of his own Sudarshan Chakra and told the Sudarshan Chakra, stand by his side, and if anybody comes to harm him, get him, kill him. So he didn't, Durvasa Muni, Maharaj Ambarish didn't have to say anything to Sudarshan. He didn't. Specifically, again, Acharya's comment, he didn't pray to the Supreme Lord, please protect me. He didn't turn to Sudarshan Chakra and say, help. His mind, his fearlessness was the I have full shelter, that, like Shukadev, like Maharaj Parikshit, who was also fearless. Let the snake bird come, or whatever mystical thing was sent by this Brahmin son. I'm ready. Why? Because my mind's completely absorbed in the topics of Krishna. That's elevated. But that elevated position, like the Bhagavatam verse, this is the doubtless and the fearless path. That stage will come. That stage will come. And what's so when I'm just looking at my watch and trying to follow your rule of ending on time. There's a very nice verse in the, I'm not able to quote verses like Gauranga. He's got some special quality remembering verses. And Dravida also, just amazing capacity to remember verses. But the verse in Uddhava Gita, where Krishna is describing to Uddhava the process of devotional service, he uses this phrase yadrichchaya is a nice term. It means somehow or other. You can look up the verse later, 11:28. Yadrichchaya means causelessly. When a living entity somehow or other, by the mercy of a devotee, develops some attachment to hearing and chanting the topics of Krishna, such a person, all the adversities in their life are dispelled, like turn light on darkness goes. And surely they will achieve the perfection of spiritual life. Faith, that's the operative term. Faith in the process. So one that we're not at that, they're not at the Maharaj Ambarish stage. We're hearing about him. And by hearing about such personalities, it inspires that quality that he has. Admiring the qualities of a great soul helps awaken those qualities. You become a follower of those persons by hearing their glories and appreciating those qualities. So he had absolute shelter in the Personality of Godhead. One who has faith in hearing and chanting such topics, you know, regularly attending Bhagavatam class and on your own reading Srila Prabhupada's books and participating in discussions in Krishna Katha with one another. Based upon faith in those principles, it will carry me to the topmost stage. You know, that's the path of fearlessness, and then there's the position of fearlessness. It's not cosmetic. You can't put it on, take it off. Fear and fearlessness. And the fearlessness is where there's full shelter in the personality of Godhead. That's what we're hearing, the glory of Maharaj Ambarish. And the glory of the personality of Godhead is he protects those persons. They don't need... It's one of the symptoms of surrender. The Lord is my protector. I don't need to protect. Even in your mind, you need to calculate how to protect. Now, that doesn't mean, in practical terms, foolish, some foolish behavior. You want to cross Venice Boulevard. Krishna will protect me. Just, walk. And the cars are zooming, and, Krishna will protect me. So we don't act foolishly, thinking Krishna is our protector. We take precautions and act intelligently for the purpose of Krishna's service. But when undertaking those kinds of measures in Krishna's service, we're sure Krishna's protection will be there. That's his promise. And Krishna upholds his promise, what to speak of his promise, even the promise of his devotees, Krishna upholds. And that's our life in devotion to Krishna. We have full faith in the shelter of the Supreme Lord and his merciful nature and the place of fearlessness. I was attending a japa retreat, and one of the things we do at the beginning of japa retreats normally is there's this discussion on what sankalpa is and its importance, your intention, according to our acharyas, according to Jiva Goswami. The intention of the devotee is the operative principle that determines the results of your life and devotion. So what your intention is maximum important. The Vaisheshika's thing is where attention flows from intention. And you know what attention flows, where energy goes, right? So your intention is really important. So we have this little exercise where we explain intention right down to sankalpa. It's like this. I explain it this way. Many of us, as kids, we had a little magnifying glass, and we played with the magnifying glass by taking the light of the sun, holding the magnifying glass in a certain position, a distance from a piece of wood or paper or straw or something. You hold it at the right position, the right distance, and all the light of the sun focuses into a little spot, and that little spot starts a fire. Yes? We've almost all done that. If you haven't, you can still do it even if you're older. So sankalpa works like that. There's the energy of the sun. It's the same energy of the sun. And then you pass it through the magnifying glass, and it focuses the light of the sun, so it'll burn. Touch it on your skin, and it's, you got a burn mark on your skin. Sankalpa with the descending, the fullness, nijasarva shaktis, the fullness of Krishna's potencies in each and every one of his name, focus that through your sankalpa, your intention of why you chant. Try it. Makes a big difference than if you don't have some clear intention. So, what's the goal? It's not like, asking a 10-year-old, what do you want to be when you grow up? Now that's an intention. I want to grow up. become strong or something or something. But then, you know, the spiritual intention for us will to the degree that it's very clear, then this original force of bhakti, which is I want to serve Krishna, become very focused, very focused, very focused, very focused, so focused that there isn't anything else. There isn't anything else. And whatever it is, the diversity of life is still with that one thing. And the sense of Krishna's protection is there as we progress spiritually. Without the sense, conversely, without the sense of Krishna's protection, we're going to be many-branched. Hedging instead of one thing. So we're being instructed through this nice story of Maharaj Ambarish's quality, the strength of pure devotion, and in contrast, you know, however qualified Durvasa Muni was to get whatever powers he had, mystic powers and brahminical strength and all of that, completely defeated. Because Krishna is protecting his devotee. So I'm going over time. I'll end there and see if there's discussion. Rigu, Pati? When somebody asks...
Yeah, how would you respond to somebody who asked something like this? They said, I don't think Maharaj Ambarish was so fearless. I mean, if I had a Sudarshan Chakra, you know, waiting there to protect me, I could be fearless like that too. I mean, just like somebody sitting on the porch of their house and there's a yard and somebody comes into the gate. And the people on the porch know, well, I got my German Shepherd. He's going to, you know, I'll just sit here and relax because that German Shepherd's going to be on this guy in seconds. So, you know, somebody could think his mentality was like that. He knew he had the Sudarshan Chakra there, right? As you mentioned, Lord Vishnu gave it to him. So, yeah, I mean, it would be easy to be pretty fearless in that situation.
Sure. Interesting theoretical hypothesis. I would wager with that person, let's try it. First become qualified to have Sudarshan Chakra standing next to you. But would there be no fear? No fear? And simply accept. Further, you know, the man that's coming charging at me, he's a brahmana, or the fury leashed against me is from a brahmana, I should simply accept it because he's a brahmana. Right. Like Bill Cosby would say. Right. Maharaj.
Yeah, as Maharaj pointed out in the beginning, he didn't call on the chakra.
Yeah.
Just like Maharaj said, he was just open. All right, bring it on. It's coming from Krishna. So it's not... The analogy is not...
Yes. Thank you.
Actually, I had a number of questions, and you answered each one as your class went on. So this is the last question I've got.
Okay.
You know, they didn't ask Krishna for anything. That was one of your themes.
Yes.
So, but then we've got Gajendra. You know, he's asking, please save me. We've got Uttara, Pahi Pahi Mahayo.
Sure.
So, they're chopped cabbage on
no,
a lower
not chopped
platform?
Cabbage at all. Look what Krishna did. You have these very colorful expressions. It's just like very special.
I'm an honorary.
It's the superlative, exalted position of Maharaj Ambarish. In Brihat Bhagavatamrita, there are identifications. I can't remember the Sanskrit because I'm not Gauranga. Of you have different stages of bhakti, and there's chapters with those headings, and one of them is Shuddha Bhakta, and that's Maharaj Ambarish. That's not to say chop cabbage for these other personalities, but Shuddha Bhakta. And, the symptoms are there. Now, in Uttara's case, she wasn't asking for herself, she was asking for the child in her womb. She said specifically, let the Brahmastra kill me, but please protect the child in the womb. like that. So,
Devaki?
Oh, you're... Which Devaki?
Oh, you're faster.
I have a question, and with permission, a comment.
Okay, fine. Both.
You were saying Vasudeva Parayana. Vasudeva Parayana or Narayana Parayana.
The phrase is there. Multiple the word, times.
Just the word Parayana means, Ayana means move forward, or Ayana means a residence.
Yeah. Just
a residence.
Residence or shelter.
Just like Ramayana.
Yeah.
Ayana means a residence. And, you know, house of Lord Ram is Ramayana, or moving towards Ram is also Ramayana. Same way, Vasudeva Parayana, the para is the adjective, and properly, first class way, no compromising.
Yeah.
You know, just depending on Narayana,
yes.
Totally 100%, he call Narayana Parayana. Or moving towards, or living 24 hours in thought of Narayana.
This is the comment part or the question part?
The comment part.
Okay.
The question part. Durvasa Muni is such a great, you know, Muni. I mean, he becomes angry very fast. He also becomes very pleased very fast.
Yeah, partial manifestation of Lord Shiva.
And he knew about, you know, Amrish Maharaj, that, you know, how saintly he is. He knew his quality and all this thing. Still, why did he got angry?
Well, two things. One thing, as I mentioned, his heart is not pure. And in his heart being not pure, he was jealous. Why is this Kshatriya being honored more than me? Pride. Here's a mathematical equation. The fruits of piety plus a heart that's impure equals pride. Every time. Every time. It's an axiom. Put it in your geometry book. So, exalted, but not situated in pure bhakti. He became admirer of Maharaj Ambarish. Afterwards, he realized, wow, I didn't understand what a great person. So then the second explanation is, great personalities like this may do something like this, inspired by the personality of God. This, the chapter 91 of 10th canto, where Bhrigu goes to Brahma, then Shiva, then Brahma, then to Vishnu. The commentary says they acted that way. They became angry with Bhrigu, the way that they became angry with Bhrigu, out of deference to Lord Vishnu, to bring the conclusion of Bhrigu. It was to honor Lord Vishnu. Now, you know, whether it doesn't say, the commentary doesn't say, they consciously acted that way, or the Lord from within the heart inspired them to act that way. So, you know, Durvasa Muni was playing a part in a pastime of the Supreme Lord, the pastime of protecting his devotee. So he took the position, so that's the second explanation. He took that position inspired by the Lord to do so. But it's not the same, because the quality of bhakti is not the same as, for example, Maharaj Parikshit, who became angry at the sage Shamakrishi, and specifically, fully, by the influence of the internal potency of the Supreme Lord, so he could receive Srimad Bhagavatam and go back to Godhead. Okay. Yes, up front is a question. Last question, I think, we'll end. Okay, unless there's something. Is anything from the ladies' side? Question?
Maharaj, the greatest gift that the living entity has is independence of free will. And we've been hearing about the willing of the Lord, the will of the Lord. It appears that sometimes the Lord supersedes the will of the living entity when he wants something to happen.
Sure. I've noticed that.
That's not the case for the conditioned souls, right? It's just only among his devotees, is that?
No. Why? Why would he be restricted to supersede the will of a non-devotee?
Because with his devotees, he performs something, I would say, just to teach the world.
And when he's saying it, and you probably know this, it's like violating. In his mind, if Krishna supersedes the will of a living entity, he's eclipsing or taking away their free will.
That's it. Correct. That's what I meant to say.
Oh, I didn't get that from what he said.
I know something.
Okay, thank you, Maharaj.
But I think
Let me wire the question. Let me say back the question, see if I've got it. When Krishna supersedes the will of the living entity, it looks like the will of the living entity isn't free will. It's not free. It's the Lord's will. Where's the free will in that case? That's your question? And is it bifurcated between the devotee and the non-devotee, or either?
I think you can see that the devotee is pastime is legal than the devotee. But anyway,
I remember a pastime of the Ramayana when Valmiki, before writing the Ramayana,
yeah,
some incident happened.
Yes, yeah, some incident happened. For
then
sure.
A voice spoke, but he was really angry. He
yeah.
reacted to some, I'm
yeah.
paraphrasing.
Yes, yes.
And then after, he didn't mean to say that. And then, it was not his will, it was not his intention to do that. Out of that, the whole Ramayana was spoken because the Lord wanted to happen.
So now it's not just the non-devotee, it's devotees and the non-devotees. Well, so the internal potency is acting in the case of Valmiki, and in the case of Maharaj Ambarish, and in the case of devotees, even in the case of us, proportionate to our submission to the personality of Godhead, the internal potency is acting. Now, free will is there, but it's not, please let us remember, it's not unlimited free will. But not by any means, not by even a far stretch of the imagination. It's depending upon the sanction of the Supreme Lord. But we can will to be, you know, Prabhupada's common example, we can will to be wealthy. Lots of people are willing to be wealthy. I want to be wealthy. And wealth doesn't come. So free will is being taken away because they wanted to become wealthy. It didn't happen. There's other factors. There's the sanction of the Supreme Lord. You want to add to this? Okay, she wants to add to this. I was hoping Lakshmi Moni would say something.
Very funny.
My will prevails.
Two things that came to my mind is that, first of all, Krishna does something by his will, but our reaction to it is our free will. So, for instance, Krishna's mercifully put a pure devotee into contact with a non-devotee. Or somebody's out on the street distributing books and someone walks by and he doesn't want necessarily to get a book, but he runs into this person and this person somehow convinces him to take a book. Now he's got a book. He can choose. His free will is, I'll do it or I won't, or I'll take it and I'll progress with it, or I won't. But Krishna's desire is there, Krishna's will is there, in that interaction takes place. And so in our lives, there's many things that happen to us by Krishna's will, and how we react to them is our free will. That was the first thing. And then the second thing is that, I can't remember. Anyway, that's enough.
She'll remember after class. Last question or comment?
Just very quickly, like a parent, you know, if children have free will, you give your children free will,
How is it just like a parent? You give your child free will. In fact, you encourage your child to develop free will and independence and thoughtful and all that. But if they're going to do something really stupid, you say, wait a minute, you know? So Krishna's the boss. So we have our free will. Just like Marsh was saying, and you were saying, it's nuanced. Krishna's the boss, and sometimes he just steps in and says, no, that's not what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen, as any good parent does.
Who wouldn't here wouldn't have money? Everybody would have money, but not everybody. I'm sure you would. but it's a combination of our free will and our karmic permission, right? And the will of Krishna. So Krishna, you know, the three doers are there, that you have our desire, then you have the reciprocation of the material energy, which is filtered through karma, and then you have Krishna's intervention.
This has been a fantastic morning together, and we're getting the signal we've gone over time. Srila Prabhupada ki.